Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Church, I want to ask you, do you ever find yourself getting more peace and comfort from your phone than you do from God? I know. Have you ever found yourself getting more soothing for your soul from food than you do Jesus? Have you ever found yourself getting more joy from watching your team win a game than you do from worshiping Jesus? I mean, like, how do you know when something has become what we would call an idol in your life? What are the signs? How do you even know? Well, that's why we're going to be spending 4 weeks on this campaign called Idols and Ideologies. So, church, how exciting. Look, first thing we want to do before we get into launching this campaign together, number one, we love to do this. We want to say a huge welcome to all our guests. So come on, every location, put your hands together. Come on, put your hands together, everybody, every single guest. We understand that every Sunday is someone's first Sunday. And so if you are with us for the first time and this environment is new to you, we want to say a huge welcome. We are so honored to be able to host you. And honestly, we are not here to judge your journey. We're here to celebrate your steps. Our heart as a church is really simple. It is to help people know Jesus, find real Christ-centered community, and discover the purpose of God. We believe that your life matters. And we believe that God has a plan for your life. And we believe that your purpose is unlocked when you discover who Jesus is, and that your purpose doesn't stop in just sitting in a seat in a service, but actually your purpose is to go into the world, to carry the kingdom of God every day of your life, to carry joy and to carry the Spirit of God everywhere you go. So that's why we exist. And again, if you're a guest today, we're so glad you're here. So we're going to get into this. Idols and ideologies. Here's the first question. What is an idol? What is an idol? An idol is, you ready? Anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, anything you seek to give you only what God can give. Tim Keller writes that in his book, Counterfeit Gods. What is an ideology? An ideology is like an idol. It is limited. It is a partial account of reality that is raised to the level of the final word on things. Ideologues, or people who follow ideologies, believe that their school or party has the real and complete answer to society's problems. Above all, ideologies hide from their adherents their dependence on God. Tim Keller. Idols, what are idols? They're anything that positions God as second. They are anything that put God as not first priority or not our first port of call when you're in need, when you're lonely, when you're whatever it is, anything that is supplying a need in your life that is before God is an idol. It has become something that is like an idol in our life. Here's the thing. It can be good things. Listen to me. It can be good things. This is not just bad things. This is good things. It'll be good things. Like, I support Arsenal Football Club. And I love them. I love them. And that's a good thing. But the amazing thing about a good thing is a good thing can become a bad thing when it is in the wrong order. Food is a good thing, but when food is out of order in our life, when it has become the thing that we worship or that we need to feel okay in life, relationships are a good thing, but when a relationship has become the thing you need, you need to be dating to feel okay about your life, that's when it's got out of order. And that means it has become an idol. And an idol in our life, it is going to control us. It's going to stop us experiencing God on the level that we are designed to know God and experience Him. Here's the thing. Whatever we worship, listen, will occupy the throne of your heart. Whatever is first, whatever you rely on the most, it will occupy the throne of your heart. If money is God, if self is God, if pleasure and comfort is God, if popularity is God, then that's what will occupy the throne of our heart. And whatever occupies the throne of our heart will dictate the state and the issues of our life. Whatever in your heart is most important, that'll be what is shaping the issues of your life. Proverbs 4:23 in the NKJV. Anyone like the NKJV? Yeah, just put your hand up, wave at us, NKJV. ESV, come on, yep, ESV. NLT, yeah, it's not bad. NIV, yeah, met the message, only adding the message, okay? Yeah, don't use that as your only version. And as well, can we thank the production team? Come on, let's all put our hand together for the production team. They make sure the scriptures are up every week. They're looking after the screens. Production team, we love you. Thank you for all you do. So, Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart, it says, with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Everyone say issues. Issues. Come on, say issue. The issues of your life. Here's a question. Is money controlling your peace? Is the lack of money? Maybe you have a lot of money. Maybe you have a little bit of money. Is it controlling your peace? Is being liked by people dictating your identity? Is people liking you shaping how you feel about yourself? Is it shaping your identity? Are you in one crowd a certain person and then another crowd another person in order to appease the different sets of audience that you are surrounded by? This is what an idol does. It's controlling us. It's shaping us. Is your pleasure, come on, Western culture, is your pleasure and comfort your top priority? Is being in a relationship the only way you feel valued? If you are single, you do not feel any value. What's happening? Is that what's happening? Because these are signs that these things are an idol. But listen to me, there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with pleasure and comfort. There's nothing wrong with relationships and dating and marriage and friendship. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong, come on, with being liked by people. Maybe you're a sanguine like Mark Saundercock and people just love you and you love people. That's a wonderful thing. That is a good thing. But it becomes an idol when it has become number one. And this is really important for us, church. Because when that thing has become the thing, that's the problem. The problem is when the thing is occupying the wrong seat in your life. The problem is when the created thing has become or taken the seat of the Creator. You hear me today, church? It's when things God has created have become more important to us than the Creator Himself. Let's look at Romans 1, 18 to 23. Romans 1, 18 to 23. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Verse 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived. So God has been presented to the world through Jesus, through creation, ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. We are without excuse that God is real and that God is a creator. For although, it says in verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images, idols, things, iPhones, resembling mortal man, and in this case, birds and animals and creeping things. Verse 24, it says, therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Verse 25, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forevermore. I have this friend, I see him regularly, when I'm going on a morning walk, I always run into this friend of mine, and whenever I see him, I'm always like, oh, isn't it a beautiful day? And how amazing is the sunrise? And he'll say to me, yes, I'm so thankful for nature. And I say, I'm so thankful for God. And we have this disagreement because I'll say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful day. And he'll say, no, I'm just thankful to the sky and the sun and to nature. Nature did all this on its own. And we have this incredible disagreement about the fact that the created things are not God, in my opinion, in my values and beliefs and understanding of theology. It is that this can happen in our world. Our world worships created things, but has forgotten the creator. And this can happen in our everyday life. This is not just big things. This is in little ways where we miss the creator because we've become focused on what he's created. It'd be like this. If I was, you know, going to make Oakland a toy. Now, let's be real. I'm not going to make him a toy. I'm just going to buy him one that's pre-made. But let's say I decided I'm going to build Oakland. I'm going to make Oakland a wooden model car. I'm going to carve it out. I'm going to design this little wooden race car for Oakland. I'm going to spend all this time carving it, making it. And then let's say I've made it. I've put this evidence, and then I give it to him. And he receives this wooden model car. And let's say the next morning after he's received it, he's loving this toy. Let's say he wakes up the next morning, rather than running to me in the morning to give me my morning hug, let's say he runs past me to his wooden toy and he gives his wooden car a morning hug. Oh, I love you, I love you. And then let's say he's later on in the day, he trips over, he falls over and he hurts himself. And rather than coming to me, his father, he goes to his wooden car toy and says, oh, I need comfort. And he goes and hugs his toy and he cries to his wooden toy and he talks to his wooden toy and doesn't come to me. Let's say he grows up, he becomes an older teenager and he needs some advice. He needs some girl advice or something. And rather than coming to his dad to get advice or input, he goes to his wooden car toy and he asks his wooden car toy, please advise me about what I should do with my life, with this relationship. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? Wouldn't that be crazy? I mean, number one, let's think about it. Think about it. Number one, problem with this situation is I would be very jealous of that stupid wooden car toy that I made him. In fact, I'd hate it. I'd break it because I never made the toy. I never made the gift to replace me. I made it so that he could enjoy it, so that he could have fun. But it was never meant to replace me. Number two, thing that I would be really annoyed about, that doesn't make sense about this, is that he has traded intimacy and relationship and connection with the gift giver, me, the gift giver, for the gift given. Catch this. It would be him trading knowing me, the gift giver, for knowing the gift given more. For being more acquainted with the wooden car toy than the one who gave it to him. Number three problem with this situation is that the wooden toy does not have the resource to supply Oakland's needs. I do. Here's what idolatry is. Idolatry is when we have taken what was a gift and made it God. When we have taken what was a gift and made it God, that is idolatry. And it is not good for us. Because God, number one, God has not given us things to replace him. He will bless you. He will provide for you, but not to replace him, but because he loves you. Number two, he'll give things so that we don't trade intimacy with the gift given for the gift giver. He wants intimacy with us. And it's never that we would prioritize the gift given above the gift giver. The other thing is that God is the supplier of our needs. God is the source of life. God is the source of joy. God is the source of freedom, the source of peace. And we will end up settling for something that he made that does not have the resource to supply what you need in this life. Little things can be an idol. Even our children can become an idol. Weekend sport can become an idol. Owning a house in Sydney can become an idol. All these things, they can become an idol when they are more important, or when we are relying and dependent on them more than we are on God. And this is not good for us. Listen, whatever we have made our God, this is the problem. Whatever you have made God, whatever you have put as number one, will become guide. Whatever is God will become guide. David says it like this in Psalm 23. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." So, listen, if money is your God, money will become your guide. That means that money is going to be informing the decisions I make. It means that I will be relying on money to determine what is best for my family. It'll mean that I'll be relying on money to determine the paths I should take. It'll be meaning that I'm relying on money to determine my ethical decision making. If pleasure is your God, pleasure will be your guide. You'll only do things that feel good. But sometimes discipline doesn't feel good now, but it will bless and be the best thing for your life later. Delayed gratification. But if pleasure is your God, if pleasure is your number one priority, then it'll guide your life. It'll be the thing helping you make your decisions. If people's opinion is your God, if you hold it as the most important thing, more than God's opinion, more than God's values, God's ways, God's kingdom, if that is number one, it'll guide your decision-making. You will do stupid things. Come on, somebody. You've done dumb things to impress people, haven't you? I know I have. We've all done ridiculous things to win the approval of people, because when people are God, their opinion is God, they become guide. And this is not good for us. We know that whatever we have prioritized as first will dominate our attention. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Put him first, and he will become what occupies your attention. Put things first, and things will be what occupy your attention. But wouldn't it be terrible to have lived a whole life trying to earn something God could have easily added? You're not meant to chase things. Things are meant to chase you. The only thing we're meant to be pursuing is God. And God will look after the adding of those things. They're not designed to be number one. So, over this campaign, here's what's going to happen. Each week, we're going to tackle three idols. And these idols, they're very pervasive in our culture. They're very pervasive in secular and sacred contexts. And so we're going to be talking about number one, week two, the idol of self. So next week, the idol of self. This is essentially what I say is the truth. My opinion is the truth. It is relative truth. We're going to talk about the idol of lust. We're going to address the idol of lust. We are. We're going to talk about the idol of greed in the last week of this campaign. Three idols. And what's going to happen is each week we're going to really pursue to do three things over this campaign. Number one is to recognize the idol. You cannot get free from what you do not identify. You cannot get free from what you do not identify. So we're going to identify the idol. We're going to recognize it. Second thing we're going to do is we're going to repent from worshiping it. We're going to repent from it being number one. What is repent? Repent is to turn. Repent is to change your mind. Metanoia, to change your mind. We're going to repent. And the third thing we're going to do is we're going to reorientate our lives around Jesus and his virtues. And the beautiful thing about virtue is that Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1 to 5, he says, add to your faith virtue, so that we will be people of faith and we add to that virtue. Virtue is when we are kind of in a middle road. It's when we are not living with too much or excess, but then not living in deficit. So this would mean you should have money. We're not saying that you should be poor or have no money. But what we are saying is when the love of money has become your pursuit and having so much money and just getting more, more, more is the goal, that's when it is out of order and we have lost the virtue. We want to have the virtues of Jesus and we want to have the fruit of the Spirit present in our lives. And that's what we're going to tackle this campaign. It is not that we're going to be telling you money is wrong. Money is great. Having a healthy marriage and sex life and all these things is great. We're not saying it's just got to be in the right order. And that's how we get free from idols that come to control and to limit our lives. Look what Jesus said as I close. Matthew 22, verse 37. He said, a Pharisee came and asked this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. The greatest life we can live is when our life has God as our number one love. Our greatest love and desire. When God is number one, everything else will fall into the right order. And it will not control us. It'll be in a place where we are living by the virtues of God and his kingdom. So church, we're so excited for this campaign. It's going to be an awesome time. I'm going to invite the team up right now. And maybe you are here today. In just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. But why don't you stand up? Can you stand up? Yeah, every location. Great job. Stand up with me. And can you just reach your hands out to God? Yeah, reach out to God. Reach out to God. Father, we just thank you for this campaign. We thank you for this month ahead. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all those that have just recently been baptized. Thank you for all you're doing in our church, Lord. And Father, we just thank you that in this next couple of weeks, we thank you, Lord, that there is great freedom, great healing, and great release, Lord God, as we recognize idols, as we repent from them, and as we reorientate our lives around what matters most, you at the center. We think you're going to do great things in our lives over these next few weeks. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen and amen. God bless your church. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.